Bohemian and cosmopolitan West Cork was never more so than in 1968 when artists Krista Reichel and Nora Golden opened the Flower House on the main street of Ballydehob. The building became the birthplace of an extraordinarily infectious outbreak of ceramic batik, repoussé sculpture, painting and print. By the 1980s, it was said that you couldn't throw a stone in West Cork without hitting a potter. But who could resist the invitation? Now, Brian Lawler, artist, writer and founder of the Ballydehob Arts Museum, is gathering the objects that tell the story of that time, which is something he also did for Culture Files' Eleanor Flegg.
This is the former AIB Bank building in Ballydehob, and it never looked like that when it was a bank. It is now functioning as the tourist office, and it's been developed into the Ballydehob Arts Museum.
It's pink and purple and lime green.
Yes. There is no chance you're going to miss it.
At present, the museum occupies that room, and there's an archive storage upstairs, which I'll show you.
Okay. How did Ballydehob come to be a centre for the arts?
I think chance had a lot to do with it. But the worldview of people coming out of art college in Ireland, in Britain, in the United States and in Germany, there was a lust for travel. And places that it was possible in which to settle and buy property very cheaply, obviously were a great attraction. And Ballydehob turned out to be one of those places. People came for different reasons. The German people who settled here were fleeing the nuclear holocaust, which was expected. And the idea was that the winds, Atlantic winds, were blowing in from the Atlantic onto Ireland, and therefore it was a place least likely to be unsafe. So, I mean, it does sound maybe a bit absurd now, but that was a significant thought at the time. Most of the young people who came here were products of art college, not all of them, but they learned skills, and then what are you going to do? They needed somewhere to set up where you could have a house and you could have sheds. You needed space to make what you wanted to make. Here it was all possible, but there was no grand plan. It happened by increments. The most significant person, individual, was Krista Reichel, and she and her partner, Nora Golden, who was a batik artist, workers over there, set up a pottery and art studio in not an abandoned farmhouse, but a semi-derelict farmhouse. They eventually bought a building on the main street of Ballydehob called the Flower House, and they developed that as a craft outlet for the work that they were making. And that proved successful. It went from being a chance operation into something that became quite professional. And out of that developed the Cork Craftsmen's Guild, which was from the 70s to the 80s, the largest craft organization in the country, driven from Ballydehob. Can I show you something? Do you see this photograph here? This is the Flower House on the main street of Ballydehob, based on what they were doing in Chelsea at the same time. A local shop painted up with these floral decorations covering the whole of the front of the building. And this was Nora Golden, Krista Reichel's partner.
It has a Sergeant Pepper flavour about it.
Absolutely. You've got the period to perfection. Huge yellow and pink flowers and purple blossoms of some kind, and the title, the Artist's Flower House. This then became a magnet for the area, because unlike having houses in the hills, this was so public. Nothing like it had ever been seen locally. Country towns were then very sober looking. They're much less sober now.
The this is the storeroom. We're upstairs in the bank building, and there are shelves of treasures, each in a little cardboard box, neatly categorised and marked.
That's what I'm doing. I'm gathering in the material, identifying it. Not always possible.
That's an elegant jug.
It is, yes. Well, a lot of these things are quite exciting in their own right. They became commonplaces, but I think that we can, you know, we can develop the story of Ballet de Hob and the wider locality from this material. These are quite curious, different types of work by Lida May. Some, you know, I'm not sure that these work particularly well. They're mugs, I suppose, goblets. So, you know, we're not choosing just the most beautiful things that people produced, but representative of the range of their work.
Well, it's about telling the history through objects.
It is. Yes.
Some of them are more fashionable than others.
Mm-hmm. Without any doubt. I mean, this is material culture, and we have to look at it in terms of what was done, rather than, you know, having a more limited, blinkered view. So sometimes, you know, I get quite surprised by, I mean, this strange little object turned up. We don't know who it's by. It's probably local. We don't know what it's for.
It's a little lumpy thing with leaves on it.
That, I think, it describes it perfectly. But somebody will come along and say, oh, you know what that was used for? So we will then know. Somebody will know.
I'm so happy that you're not trying to establish an aesthetic standard.
No, definitely not. I'm very, very open to what comes to the museum. Afterwards, we can establish some kind of hierarchy of things that are exceptional. But the idea is to represent the period and the people and whatever they made, irrespective.
Brian Lawler at Ballet de Hob Arts Museum there with Eleanor Flegg. And there'll be two exhibitions at the museum this summer, the Irish Tea Ceremony, which looks at local teapots and allied artefacts, and then Ballet de Hob on Bahnhofstrasse, which revisits the antics of 12 West Cork artists and craftspeople who held an exhibition in Zurich in the 1980s.